Blog Talk Radio.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014. All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Yeah, we're back again. Good morning, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and this is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, part of the Brilliant Ideas Radio Network. Good morning to everyone. Welcome to another fun-filled, fact-filled, filled with lots of stuff. Full of you know what, and we have with me as usual joining us this morning is the food news Jersey style girl, Laurie herself. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning.
Good morning, and we have the man who likes the wine, the wine's artist himself, Mr. Brian Fairchild. Good morning, Brian.
I'm back. How are you guys?
He's back.
All right.
Good morning.
Yes,
we're good.
Back. By the way,
I can say that too. I can say I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back too. And I can say I'm back too. I'm going to start off the show talking about that, actually. I was in Amarillo, Texas at a food show this past week, and I got a few things to talk about that. But one thing I do need to say, I met a gentleman that I had seen at the last show. His name is Steve. And Steve, if you're listening, sorry. But I asked him, had he heard our show? And he said, yes, I have. And may I give you some criticism? I said, sure. He said, you need to enunciate better. Steve, you need to stick it in your pie hole, but I'll try to enunciate better. So, guys, we need
to
enunciate.
He's talking about me. He's got to be talking about me, not you.
No. He's talking about me.
It's that Jersey accent of yours.
Yeah, I guess. Hey, and by the way, speaking of Amarillo, a couple of things I got to talk about. When you say Amarillo, Texas, it's synonymous with steak. If you've never been to Amarillo, there's a steakhouse in just about every corner. And everybody probably knows about the Bin, which is famous for their giant 72-ounce steak. That if you can eat it in an hour, you get it for free, which I don't think
I even
want to get that for free. No, I didn't go there. I went to a different one called Saltgrass Steakhouse, and all I can say
was
their store, Saltgrass. See, I didn't enunciate Saltgrass Steakhouse.
Saltgrass.
Saltgrass. Anyway, their steak was good, but let me tell you, the chocolate cake, oh, my God. I took it back to the hotel, and I've got to post it on Facebook.
You texted me the photo. I was cracking up. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to post that.
You could have fed a family of four with that piece of cake. It was like half a cake.
But
anyway,
beef.
Oh, it was amazing. So,
well,
by the way,
you are a family of four.
Well, that's
true.
There is a family of
all
four.
All by yourself.
Well, Saltgrass Steakhouse, thank you. It was a fantastic dinner. Also want to put a plug out there because I told him I was mentioned on the show. Hereford Beef, which is part of the National Beef Company, they have a grass-fed burger meat. And I have to say, I've been one of those. I've been in the food business a long time, and honestly, I didn't think grass-fed meant a whole lot, but I ate their burger at the show, and the Hereford Beef, grass-fed ground beef, is unbelievable. I asked the guy, I said, how did you cook it? He said, I put pepper on it, and that was it. So I don't know if it was the pepper or the beef, but it was the best burger.
I keep telling you that when you have a good piece of meat, you don't want to put anything on it except a little cracked pepper and a little salt at the
exactly.
end. You don't want to. It doesn't need anything. Then you're going to change the flavor of what the beef is.
That's true.
Right?
Exactly. And I would say that I don't know if it was the grass fed or what, but it was good. And last but not least, on my way back in Charlotte, I stopped at Quiznos. And by the way, Brian, have you ever eaten at Quiznos?
Yeah, I used to, and then the one by us closed down. It's, you know, they kind of been pushed aside by Subways and other places that, you know, do the same thing. I've eaten at Quiznos.
Well, I ate at Quiznos at the Charlotte Airport, and they had a black Angus beef Swiss cheese sandwich with bacon and some kind of Mediterranean sauce that was unbelievable. And I hadn't eaten at Quiznos. You're right. You don't see them that often anymore. Subway's taken over the world. But it was fantastic. So I told the lady that was waiting on me, I went back up and said, this is the best I've had all day. She didn't get my joke, but it was fantastic. So anyway.
The only thing you had all day.
It was actually.
You do have to tell that you don't like, you know, one of my favorite cheeses. I love Swiss cheese on my mouth. And you don't.
I don't understand that combo, though. Swiss cheese and a Mediterranean sauce and bacon.
Yes,
just,
it was weird,
me,
but it
sounds like it wouldn't work. Yeah.
It did work. And I don't like
and
Swiss cheese.
And
I told Laurie, you know, Swiss I can eat, but it's not my favorite. But the sauce they had on that kind of covered up that taste I don't like in the Swiss
that
cheese.
Bittery,
so.
Yes, because it's a little bittery, people think, and for Swiss. It's got like a little bittery flavor, but I love it.
I'm not a fan of it.
Hey,
I have
a question about your trip.
I have
one question about your trip. I want to know if they serve armadillo in Amarillo.
You know, I didn't see that on the menu, but that would be a good place to serve it. That's true. Anyway,
I'm going to let you guys
do the news.
Okay. Who's starting first? Brian, you?
You're the food news girl, unless you want me to put on my thing.
You guys can't do it without me.
Let's duke it out. Who's going to – I'll go first. I have a quick one. I'll do it. Okay, oh gosh, I was laughing so hard when I read this title, and I said, okay, I have to read this. But it says it's a fascinating health food story, and it's a real shocker. Here you go. A diet high in fried foods, sweet drinks, and processed meats may be worse for people with kidney disease.
Wow.
Are you shocked? Wow. Isn't that, you know, I deleted the rest of the story.
Yeah.
It. I'm not reading it. It just, I couldn't even read it. I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Hey, Laurie.
Well, I guess if they eliminate their kidneys and go on dialysis for the rest of their lives, it could be beneficial for kidney disease.
Laurie, I got a cutting edge story for you. If you eat Hershey bars 24/7, you may get fat.
Oh, damn. I got to go off the Hershey diet then.
and you know, when we're driving home, I pick him up at the airport. We drive home, and he goes, I'm kind of hungry. I want something sweet. He runs in, and he goes and gets, he comes out with a Hershey bar. I'm like, of course you got a Hershey bar. And he was a little kid. And I was like, 11 o'clock at night, he's getting a Hershey bar.
Well,
Lori, he's a good American. Hershey is a great American classic.
I love
That's
Hershey
right.
bars. I love
you
tell
her,
bars,
you tell her
love
ones
it.
Are.
That's a
right.
great American classic.
All right.
So we came home and had a glass
of
wine at 11:30.
That one was cutting edge, Laurie. How about another one?
Okay. There are more than, this is interesting. Okay, you're going to love this one, brilliant. There are more than 50 hazelnuts of Nutella. The Trulfinity spread produced each year. I knew it. Go ahead. Tell people.
First of all, I don't know where you're going with this. but I do not understand the attraction to Nutella. To me, I don't like it. And everybody raves Nutella.
Isn't that interesting? All three of us don't like it. I'm not saying
we agreed on something. Oh, my God.
We did, all three of us. Da, 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 da. Anyway, right now, what do you hear the prejudice? Right now, many concessionaires are scrambling to secure the hazelnuts. Hailstorms and frost in March damaged the crop in Turkey, and it's the world's main growing area. I didn't realize that. 60% in Turkey comes from produces the hazelnuts. So Nutella maker Ferrero Group has less reason for concern because it had acquired the Turkey hazelnut supplier Olton Group in July. How smart was that?
Okay, so wait a second. So Nutella, which was invented by the Italians, you know, this chocolate hazelnut thing is Italian. They, and I thought that they grew more hazelnuts than anybody. They're buying the hazelnuts from Turkey?
Turkey. I had no idea. It's funny because I really thought it would probably be Italy too. But no. It's the world's main growing area.
Well,
it's
the thing I don't like Nutella.
You know, hazelnut is something. I mean, what is a hazelnut anyway? I don't think I've ever seen a hazelnut.
Yeah, we're really going off on this.
It's a filbert. Remember the old name? Filbert nuts? Remember when we used to call them filbert nuts?
Silver nuts?
I don't remember. I never heard that.
Yeah,
one.
Filbert. Yeah, no. Those are hazelnuts.
Okay.
Are you saying silver, like S-I-L-V-E-R? Like, are you enunciating?
No, F-I-L-V-E-R-T, filbert.
Oh,
enunciate.
Yeah. Okay, I told you, didn't I tell you before to clear your phone? You said
that
you were
underwater again. The Long Ranger got that when he rode his horse too much.
I cleared my phone, Miss Laurie.
Okay,
and
it's
I'm operating on all cylinders, so I don't know about you guys.
No, I'm never operating on all cylinders. People around the world have been, you have to hear this one line, please. It's astonishing. People around the world have been consuming more Nutella than ever, and sales of the spread increased 6.4% to 2.46 billion dollars in 2013, and U.S. Nutella sales were up 5.9%. We are in the wrong business. 2.46 billion.
Well, we're all nuts. Why can't we be in the nut business?
True.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the three of us are not helping that number. That's for sure. I can't stand the stuff. I don't. I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's an acquired taste. I don't know.
No, it's just,
you know, it's weird because, I've been to Italy enough times. I've stayed with Italian families. I spent a month in The Hague in the Netherlands. And this thing about breakfast, they would spread butter and Nutella or some other kind of spread on bread. And that was breakfast. And I'm thinking, where's the bacon and eggs?
Breakfast. Yeah, you know? Exactly. For the pancakes, yeah. Where's the Denny's?
Yeah.
Put me in that direction,
you had to bring up Denny's.
Why, were you there recently?
It's like that's the Seinfeld thing. It's like, you know, there always has to be a word that has to come out at some point in the show.
Tomorrow.
There's actually three words.
Denny's tomorrow.
Hey, you know, we will. We have, there's three words we use on the show. All the time. If
Walmart.
You know, it's Walmart, Denny's, and arugula.
And arugula.
No. You've gotten rid of savory?
Savory,
Savory's your fancy word. I don't use that.
I never use that word, though. And I like it. It's a nice kind of crafty word. Savory. Very savory. No. Okay, Brian, you got to read the next article because you sent it to me and we were talking about it, so go ahead. You can read the next article.
Oh God, you're gonna make me read this. Oh, it's all right. I'm not gonna read the article. I'll tell you where it came from. It's an article that just popped in up, from the New York Times. Ironically, we were on vacation last week in New England, you know, on the Cape and Rhode Island and various places, and we both love clam chowder. I mean, I love.
Do you like? Are you a Manhattan or a New England? You're Manhattan. I'm a New England.
I like them all for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Manhattan chowder is a little bit more hearty for like the wintertime.
Definitely.
Just, you know, it's just a little bit more like of a vegetable stew type thing. You know, although the New England chowder kind of came out of that original idea of making a fish stew and, you know, adding things to thicken it and, you know, having a hearty meal. But, you know, so there's always a battle of who likes the best chowder. So you have the Manhattan chowder, which is a tomato base, kind of like almost, you know, minestrone-like with clam. And then you have the New England chowder, which is a cream base, but also has bacon in it. And then they have the clear chowder, which is kind of, you know, in New England, but predominantly like Rhode Island. And it's not totally clear, you know, it's not like a broth with clams in it. It's still got potatoes and some vegetables and clams. But what happens is the potatoes, they break down, and then, you know, and the starches just sort of make the color of the chowder a little cloudy. And that's the kind that my wife grew up on, and we loved that. And we didn't have any Manhattan chowder up in New England, except for there used to be a small amusement park in Rhode Island called Rocky Point. And Rocky Point had this big family style, you know, cafeteria where, you know, you had long tables and you'd sit at the long tables, and they basically served you chowder and clam cakes and then brought out watermelon at the end.
Oh.
And,
hey,
Bailey,
may I say something? For all those out there that are listening and are as bored to death about this clam chowder story as I am, you can also do your toenails and cut your toenails in the meantime while he continues with the story. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. All right. I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm done.
Don't listen to him, Brian. I'm interested.
I'm done.
Interested.
So anyway, she gets excited about going up and having a Rocky Point chowder because the Rocky Point clam chowder was like the clear chowder with a little bit of tomato in it, so it kind of looked like watered down Manhattan chowder. But we went and they had an outlet. You know, they have a little outlet place that you can get the clam cakes and the chowder. And we went and brought some back to her folks' house, and we're eating the chowder, and she's like, "This is not Rocky Point chowder." I said, "Yeah, it kind of tastes like Manhattan chowder to me. It's really good." And she's like, "No," she refused to like it because it wasn't what she remembered, but yet it was actually really good. So the bottom line is there are really a lot of variations of chowder, and I guess it's wherever you are, you know, which chowder you prefer.
Exactly.
I like them all for different reasons.
Me too. I like them all.
Yeah. Are you happy now, girl? We're done.
Are we done? Are we done with clam chowder?
Yes, we're done with clam chowder. I know it's not. I know it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get cooked on the grill, and it doesn't have barbecue sauce, so I'm sorry you got bored.
By the way, William Bill Horn, you know William Bill Horn, right?
Yes, Mr. Bill.
Yes, well, he just sent a message on Facebook, and he says, "I think the bottle of Nutella that is in our home, we were given, and we've never opened it, maybe 20 years ago." So there you go. There's another
person.
Awesome.
Good
Nutella.
For you. Good for you, Bill. I knew I liked that guy.
We'll have to have him on sometime.
Yes, he should call in.
Okay, well, hey guys, I got to make an announcement real quick because I was told something, too, by Mr. Enunciation, that when people listen to our show, sometimes they're not listening to on the computer. They're actually downloading it, and they don't see the screen as to who the guests are and all that. So I should have done this at the beginning of the show, but let me interrupt our little news riveting stories here and just say, if you are listening and don't know who's going to be on the show today and you haven't read what I spend hours and hours writing, our first guest will be Paula Markow, and she's coming on to talk about her book called Cooking with Fire, which has a caveman that interests me a lot. By the way, before I go on, what is a tanner? T-A-N-N-U-R? Anybody know?
T-A-N-N-U-R.
Yeah, that's what she talks about, roasting on a spit or baking in a tanner. T-A-N-N-U-R. I guess we'll ask her that question. And she's also a history food editor, et cetera, et cetera. And our second guest, we're going to be talking about movies and videos and guitar playing. Horatio Jones and actress Lisa Winans will be joining us. And Horatio is actually a classical guitar player, and he's also a director, and he also has a video company. And they just did a movie called Desert Rose, and Lisa Winans won the, what is this, the 48-Hour Film Fest Best Actress Award in San Diego. So they'll be joining
wow.
us. And then last but not least, this is really cool. We saw your band, which is a country music band from Israel. They're actually be calling from Tel Aviv, I believe. And
how
they are
cool
country
is that?
Music. And, I mean, that is cool. And it'll be our first time with a call from Israel, but I got to find out how in the heck a country music band ended up in Israel, but that'll be cool. So anyway, that's who's coming on in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, Laurie or Mr. Weinzard, do you have any more food news before we go to our first
Well, test? I actually do have the answer to what a tanner is, but I'll
yeah.
allow our guest to
All right,
to explain. It looks
Aww,
a little bit like a tandoor. You know,
I know
thing,
it's funny. I was
going to
say I thought of candor when he said it, but then he spelled
yeah,
it. I'm like, that's not
yeah,
here.
But I believe that it looks like it's more of a Mediterranean, Middle Eastern thing. But
oh,
we'll have her on. We'll have her report on that.
Right.
I have something in light of the fact that I was totally thrown under the bus and ridiculed.
No,
for,
I was too. We were talking about that. We both
for,
the
for eating lobster ice cream, and okay, you don't
oh.
have to say it, Grill. I know what you're going to say. But for eating lobster ice cream, I decided to look at what the, you know, the top 10 or the top worst flavors of actual ice cream are out there.
And that
I
one's
got to
be on the list. That's got to be on the list.
Well,
every time I hear that, I throw up in my mouth. It makes me sick.
I told you not to say that. Well, I'm going to make you even sicker. Yes,
what?
Lobster ice cream was on one of the surveys, and as a matter of fact, the very place where I got the lobster ice cream was cited in the little explanation about why
oh,
the lobster
really?
Ice cream was there. But I'm going to read some of these. If you want to get
I'm
sick,
curious.
You're going to get sick. All right, number one, raw horse flesh. Enunciate, right? I said horse flesh.
All
okay.
Right.
Apparently, it's something that is a delicacy, hot, you know, item in Tokyo.
You know what? You know what I say to horse flesh ice cream? Nay to that.
Yeah. horseradish. Now,
horseradish.
I would like that.
I actually
I would
like horseradish because I like
Me
spicy.
Too.
You know, the Italians make chocolate ice cream with, you know, with like pepper, hot pepper, like cayenne.
Yeah,
in
I've
it.
Had that.
That is
yep.
the gelato. That is really phenomenal. I probably would like. Hey, and this is from Queens, where I grew up. Max and Minnows in Queens. Wow. I'll have to look that up, but
did
horseradish.
Say, did you say Minnow?
All right.
Minnow ice cream?
Crystal that place.
Max and Minnows in Queens. I am enunciating.
I think you said Minnow. I thought you said Minnow ice cream.
Clean out your ears.
Okay.
And to our
Hurry
listeners
up.
Who don't think that we're enunciating. All right. I don't know what this is. Yazoo Sue with rosemary bar nuts. And then one called Breakfast in Bed, and I'll read you what's in the Breakfast in Bed. The Breakfast in Bed contains places in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, African vanilla ice cream base with pasteurized egg yolks, real maple syrup, and you guessed it, bacon.
Bacon. Well, you know, I was sitting here thinking, that sounds good.
It does
foie
sound
gras.
Good.
So ice cream made from foie gras. And then lobster was number six, okay. Wasabi pea dust. I don't know. I didn't know that wasabi's peed. But
I had wasabi over the weekend.
Wasabi pea dust. All right, pear with blue cheese. I would love pear with blue cheese on a salad, but I don't know about ice cream.
No.
And then there's one called Secret Breakfast. Now, what's in the Secret Breakfast? Made with bourbon and cornflakes.
Now, that sounds good.
All right.
The Breakfast
that
of Champions
sounds really
there.
Good.
Yeah.
For like a little crunch for the texture? Oh, I like that.
Pig and fresh brown turkey. That sounds like your kind of pig grill. Brown turkey?
No. With ice cream, no. Ew.
Okay. How about avocado with mint and sour cream?
There you go.
All right.
Give me a double scoop of that one.
And the last one on this list, Eskimo ice cream. Now, the first thing I thought about was the Klondike's, you know,
right.
Eskimo pies, which
right.
I love.
That's what I'm thinking. Yes.
But this is apparently has a lot of fresh berries in it, but the base is made from animal fat.
No.
Meaning the things that they hunt there, like reindeer, caribou,
oh, wow.
and possibly even whale.
Wow.
Now,
well,
the
that,
other list
on that
had
though,
similar
I gotta
things.
Go. Hurry.
Hurry. It's a hateful
Hurry?
Idea.
Yes.
No, the other list had similar things, but spleen and artichoke, shark fin, garlic, sardine and brandy, that was an interesting one, caviar, sauerkraut, codfish, spaghetti and cheese. So you get all your whole meal in one bite.
All right.
And then blue Stilton ice cream. All right. So that's
right.
it. I'm done. So I'm vindicated. There are things that are stranger than the lobster ice cream I ate.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
And everybody's out there who's running to their toilet right now, enjoy your ice cream. And we're going to take a quick break. And we'll bring on our first guest. And we're going to be talking to her about Cooking with Fire, which is one of my favorite subjects, and that's the name of her book. Her name is Paula I'm probably saying her name wrong, Marceau or Marco. She'll have to correct me when she comes on. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm going to play, whatever I can see, Jilly Martin, A Little Bit of Me. We'll be right back.
Can't you turn it upside down? It's like you're like that all the time when your girlfriend's around. Let's go for a drink. I'll let you buy me two. I will be your shrink tonight if you want me to. Somebody needs a little comfort. Somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love. And I know just the girl. So baby, call me, you're gonna need my company. You had a whole lot of her, that for a little bit of me. I know you never asked me, but I'll give you a tip. You need someone who has some fun and ain't always throwing fits. Cause if you wanna be happy, she's not what you want. That girl is a beach, the sun ain't shining on. Somebody needs a little comfort. Somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love. And I know just the girl. So baby, call me, you're gonna need my company. You had a whole lot of her, time for a little bit of me. A little bit of me goes a long, long way. I bet a little bit of you is a little bit afraid. Somebody needs a little comfort. Somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love. And I know just the girl. So baby, call me. You're gonna need my company. You had a whole lot of her. Time for a little bit of me. Everybody. Somebody needs a little comfort. Somebody needs a little get your mind off of her. Somebody needs a little dose of sweet love. And I know just the girl. So baby, call me. You're gonna need my company. You had a whole lot of her. Time for a little bit of me. You know you.
Oh, that was Jilly Martin, a little bit of me. We are back, and we're bringing on our first guest, if I can get these buttons to work. Our first guest this morning, her name is Paula Marco. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. She's an author. She's got a new book. It's called Cooking with Fire. It's from roasting on a spit to baking on a tanner, I think how you say it. And we're going to bring her on, press this button, grill it. And good morning, Paula. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. Okay. Did I say your name correct way, first of all?
You got the first syllable. It's Marcou, Paula Marcou.
Marcou. Okay. Well, there you go. I'm not real good at people's names, and I always screw it up, so I apologize. But we wanted to have you on to talk about your book. And I don't know if you heard us talking before you came on. I have to ask you, because cooking with fire is my favorite thing. You know, I'm like a caveman. But what is a How do you say it? Tanner? T-A-N-N-U-R.
Oh, a tanur, yeah. It's the most ancient kind of oven, or bread baking apparatus. It's really, you wouldn't even define it as an oven exactly. But it's a cylinder that was made out of clay and still is in the Middle East. It comes from the area of southern Turkey, northern Syria, where it was invented, and where wheat was also domesticated. So it was part of bread baking from day one. But it allows you to have a tremendous amount of draft. It's like a little chimney, and you heat it up extremely hot and then make little loaves of bread that you flap right onto the inside wall as the fire is burning by it, and it makes really, really delicious bread. Descendants of that tanur are found all across Asia and North Africa, and the most famous version being the South Asian, like India and Pakistan, the tandoor, as tandoori chicken and tandoor breads, like naan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ooh, I love that.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It creates a great flavor.
So is it kind of like those things that you see at Lowe's and Home Depot? It's got the little
the
stack
pita?
On it.
People call it pita bread, but I call it...
Well, it's kind of like it's a little bit like a chiminea in a way, but you have to have it has a very small entry hole for the air to come in through the bottom, and it can put the fuel in through the bottom, and that creates a lot of draft, a lot of heat, so it really roars up through there. And that invention, that idea of how to create and maintain a draft, is the invention that lays behind not just great bread, but also all of metallurgy, all of pottery making. So that invention by the women who were baking in the Middle East 10,000 years ago preceded and was the basis of what so much of, technologies that we've used for the last 10,000 years are based on.
Very interesting. So you wrote this
book
about cooking with fire, and I guess since the beginning of time before I had things like Big Green Egg and my charcoal briquette, people have been cooking with fire once they discovered how to roast these sticks together. So what made you go out and actually decide to write this book?
Well, it's something I've always really been interested in, but it took me a long time to put the two sides of my career, or if you can call it that, together. I was trained in archaeology, and I traveled around in the Middle East and did a good deal of archaeology when I was just out of school. And I also, the other half of the year that I wasn't doing that, I was cooking professionally. So those were two sort of slices of me that really didn't get together until I went to work at a living history museum where I got to build ovens and cook on fire and cook in clay ovens and that kind of thing. And that was many years ago, more than 20 years ago. And over that period of time, I became really, really entranced by just thinking about the way people cooked in the past and then trying out not just the recipes, but the techniques and building the apparatus you need to actually create things that really do taste like foods of the past, not sort of jury-rigged by cooking things in an electric stove, but really by building the correct technology. You can make just really delicious flavors, but kinds of things that people haven't had access to since we stopped using those correct apparatuses.
Very interesting. Now, in this book, I assume you talk about the history of how this all came about. Is there also recipes on how people can cook with fire, and, you know, if they just make them like a campfire or something? Is there recipes
for
that?
Yes, it's a very pragmatic book, and I spend a lot of time trying to persuade people to use the least technology possible. So just really appreciating fire and coals and a stick and cooking with very few tools. I have a number of recipes with no tools at all. So you really, really get to appreciate the fire and learn about the fire. So I'm very hopeful, and I've heard a lot from people that people are inspired to back away, back up from grills, especially the gas grill, which I really hate. But even any other kind of proper grill, and just think about the actual fire itself and the food, and really concentrate on creating wonderful flavors and textures. Not necessarily, you know, spending $500, $1,000 on your tools. You know, you don't need to.
Well, Laurie can attest to this. Some of the best pork chops we've ever made is at our neighbor's house. He has a fire pit, and he has this grate that we wait and get the coals all nice and hot, and then we cook the pork chops over the open fire, and it's probably the best pork chops. Wouldn't you agree, Laurie?
They are unbelievable. And you're right. I know you don't. People don't realize a lot of times, but you don't like the gas grills. You want that true, you know, the old-fashioned round. You're very, very simple when it comes to grilling, actually. You like the old-fashioned way.
Exactly. So, Paula, this book is available. Is it available on all the major book, Amazon, those kind of places?
Yes, it is. It's in independent bookstores as well as in book chains and online here and there, all over the place. So it's and it's also available on electronic version. Although I've heard from so many people that that's the one place that they are holding out for real paper, and for in many cases is cookbooks, which I'm frightened by. I like to have a physical cookbook myself. But in any case, yes, it's widely available.
And the good thing about books is if you don't like them, you can throw them on the fire and cook with them.
I hope that won't happen.
Yeah, I hope not. Jeez.
Not her. It's not your book. I'm just talking about the other one. Now, you've got a website. That's right. You've got a website at www.themagnificentlemon.com. And what do people find there on your website?
Well, it's just a little introduction to me and my work. I have a blog about cooking using historic recipes, not always with fire, but just mostly about food history, and a schedule about all the places that I'd be visiting.
Cool. And by the way, folks, I'm reading on here, I spelled history wrong. I know that. If anybody writes me back and tells me history is spelled H-I-S-T-O-R-Y, not T-R-O-Y. But anyway, I'll fix that later. So you're actually a food history editor. And so who do you actually write for?
Well, this book was published by Story Publishing, but I also, I'm an editor for, the food editor, really, for Edible South Shore and South Coast Magazine. It's one of the many edible magazines, edible publications that's popped up all around the country. And this one focuses on the foods of southeastern Massachusetts, where I live in Plymouth, Massachusetts. So it's the area between Boston and Cape Cod for the most part. So
okay.
A part of...
Well, you gave me a great idea. You said edible magazine. There you go. After you finish reading, you can eat it.
That's true. You can use soy ink for that.
Brilliant. Oh, boy.
So, hey, Brian. I don't know if we still got
it. Yes, sir.
Do you cook with fire?
I cook with fire all the time.
Of course
and,
you do.
And I am one of those people who could never embrace electric stoves, so I always cook with fire.
Well, yes, caveman like we are, we always cook with fire. Well, I wanted to thank you, Paula, for joining us and telling everybody about your book. Check out, now they can find out details about your book, I assume, on the website. You can click this link and find out more about Paula and also about her book. Go to Amazon, go to your local bookstores to find this book. And one thing before you go, what is the best, in your book, what is the best recipe for cooking on fire?
Well, there are quite a few, and they use a tremendous variety of techniques, but one I really love is cooking a leg of lamb hanging from a piece of string. It twists and turns all on its own. You just sort of spin it, and so you've drilled a hole in the shank end of it, and you hang it up with a secure knot with a nice pile of coals and a fire behind it, creating more coals. And you just spin that leg, and it keeps spinning, and then it spins back the other way, and every now and again you have to give it a little twist again. But it just comes out so perfectly, and the elegance of the solution, you know, just using the shape of the meat and its and the momentum of a spinning piece of twine, it's the most delicious leg of lamb you'll ever eat.
Now, that's interesting.
I really
thought
like
about
that.
Doing it. So it's kind of, like a man-made rotisserie.
Yes, right. It just uses the natural, the shape of it. And we've cooked other things that way, poultry, and even one time when I was doing a demonstration and couldn't find a leg of lamb anywhere, we've got a lot of turkey legs, and they take quite a lot of spinning because they don't get much momentum because
right.
They're not very heavy. But they still cooked perfectly, and they look kind of funny all lined up hanging like they were. But the for the leg of lamb, it's really the ideal cut of meat because of the shape of it. You have the large part sort of closest to where the coals are, and then the so it all cooks through just to the right degree.
Wow.
We always put
my
grandfather's mustard plaster on it with garlic, and it's just it crisps up and is just wonderful.
That is really cool. Everybody check out her book, Cooking with Fire.
That
you can find that, and along with, I'm sure, some other great tips on how to cook with fire the old-fashioned way. And we appreciate you joining us this morning and talking about your book. And let us know if you come out with a new book of any sort, then you're always welcome to come back on the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much.
I'm
going to
buy your book for Grillion, just so you know. I'm going to buy. I'm going to order your book for Grillion.
Great.
It's
thanks.
From him.
All right, thanks, Paula. And everybody, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm running behind schedule as usual. And we're going to, well, you know what? I probably shouldn't play the big green egg after talking about Cooking with Fire, but I have to because they are one of our sponsors. But that is Cooking with Fire, right? Is that
yes,
fire,
it
right?
is Cooking with Fire.
Cooking with Fire.
Of course. And the reason why I'm not going to the ad, because, of course, Blog Talk Radio is acting up. There we go. All right, be right back in 1 second.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, you can get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Go to the website, punch in your zip code, find a dealer near you. I've got a Big Green Egg. And by the way, you can put wood in a Big Green Egg and cook with fire without charcoal. And I've actually done that, and it works out really well. And I guess tomorrow we'll be cooking a ham on the Big Green Egg, and looking forward to that. And so check out biggreenegg.com. Go get yourself a Big Green Egg. And on that note, we're going to switch gears, and we're going from food over to making movies, videos, actresses, and the sort. And but I'm sure these people eat, so we can still talk about food with them, too. And guitar playing, too, on top of that. So we've got, and joining us next, I'm having all kinds of problems over here, folks. Horatio Jones is joining us, and but when I press the button, nothing's happened here. Hold on a second. All right. Horatio Jones and Lisa Winans is joining us. Are you guys both there? I'm having technical difficulties. Everybody there?
Yes,
I'm
here. Can you hear me?
All right. We got you. Yay. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For having us on.
Well, Horatio Jones, first of all, and Lisa, I'm going to put you on hold just for 1 second. I wanted to talk to you because you're kind of a jack of all trades. You play the guitar, you're a director, you got a video company. So what do you want to talk about first?
Wow. Let's
fire?
Talk about movies. Fire.
Fire. Well, first of all, I'll start this off. Horatio Jones, I guess you're a classical guitarist. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I went to music school and learned classical guitar.
And he's got some really cool music. If you go to his website, HoratioJones.com, you can find out more about his music. And unfortunately, I'm trying to play your music while I'm saying this, and it's not working. But he's a classical guitarist, and oh, here we go. I think it's going to work. Here you go. This little rendition of what Horatio Jones does on the side. And we'll let that play in the background of some of your music. So how long have you been playing the guitar?
Since I was like 13 and discovered Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin.
Oh, cool.
It's beautiful.
What a
it
perfect
doesn't sound anything
way
like
to
Jimi
go.
Hendrix around you.
What a perfect inspiration to be a classical guitarist, too.
Yeah, right.
I mean, really, Hendrix, yeah.
So, Horatio, do you have an album CD that's out with all your guitar music?
No, not yet. I'm working on that. That's one of my goals for this year.
So if you want to check out his, I'm just having all kinds of technical difficulties. If you want to check out his website, you can find, I had to cut the music off, but if you want to find out more about his music, you can find it at HoratioJones.com. And now let's talk about what else you do. You're a director and a video guy, and let's talk about your video company first. You started a video company that goes out and makes videos for, like, corporate events, small, you know, small videos for people, for their companies, et cetera, and it's called CinemaViva.com. Just want to tell everybody a little bit about your company.
Yeah, well, at Cinema Viva, we do quite a number of things. We make documentaries, short films, and I like making videos for startup businesses, you know, to promote themselves. And recently I'm getting into more photojournalism.
Okay. And it, by the way, you got some cool videos on there. If you go to www.cinemaviva.com, you can see some of the things that he's working on, a little bit about his services. And so, like, if I want to make a video and put together something for Green Ideas Radio, you're the man for the job. You can actually take a crazy little idea and turn it into a video advertisement for someone?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we can even just take pictures and create videos out of the pictures, too.
Cool. I might be contacting you later.
For sure, man.
So how long have you been in the video business?
I think it's like going on 12 years now.
And then you got into movies. That's what we're going to talk about. And Lisa, are you still with me?
I'm here.
Lisa Winans is an actress that you recently had and a movie that you made. And you may want to fill in the blanks, but the movie's called Desert Rose. And it was part of the 48-hour film fest in San Diego. And Lisa was the actress in the movie, and she actually won the Best Actress of 2014 in this film for the San Diego 48-hour film fest. So you want to give us a little background on what the movie's about and about how you and Lisa hooked up?
Go, Hara.
Okay, well, sure. Desert Rose is a short film about a lady who's having trouble with her marriage because her child died. And during the anniversary of her child's death, she, like, leaves the house and encounters this ghostly figure who is, in a way, representative of the daughter. But we got the road trip genre, so we had to film most everything in a car. So it's just a lot of her and the ghostly figure talking about things. And she doesn't realize it's a ghost till the end. I think
I think it's just a girl that I meet, and it's like she's a kind of a strange girl. But
okay.
In the end, you find out that she's actually not really there.
Now, I have to ask a stupid question. Is the movie, do you make the movie in 48 hours, or is the festival last 48 hours?
No, you actually make the film in 48 hours. It's a weekend of chaos, but it's a blast. It's really a blast. We had, what were there, 80 teams this year, Horacio, I think? 80 teams,
yeah,
and about 72 films made it in on time, I think.
Huh.
But, yeah, you have no idea what you're doing ahead of time. You, on a Friday evening, you get your genre. You know, everybody lines up, all 80 teams, and you pick a genre, and there's, I think, 14 or 15 different possibilities. So it could be film noir, it could be drama, comedy. We got road movie. So you get your genre, and then everyone across the board gets assigned three elements that have to be in your film: a prop, a line of dialogue, and a character. And that's the same for everyone, no matter what genre you get. Those three elements have to be in your film. And that's a 7 o'clock on a Friday night. Okay, go. And the film has to be in by 7 o'clock on Sunday.
That's amazing.
That is really cool. And
I never knew that.
Because I was looking at the clip that's online, and it's pretty cool how you guys put that all together, and you have to do editing and do all the acting. I mean, literally you have no line set up or nothing. You have to put this all together in 48 hours.
Exactly. You have, 48 hours to write it, shoot it, edit it, add sound and credits, and then you have to render it. And rendering takes, forever.
That is really cool. Now, Lisa, how long have you been an actress?
Well, I'm kind of you could call me a renewed actress, I guess. I did some stuff when I was young, and then I had my second kid, and it was just too much. I really wanted to focus on being, a mom. So I kind of took a, 18-year hiatus. And then when my last kid left for college, I jumped back in again, and I've been, and I started class. I did a showcase with my coach. I got picked up by my agent, and I've been a working actor ever since. So that was in 2011 I got picked up by my agent.
Really cool. Now, and congratulations, by the way, on winning the top actress in this 48-hour festival that went on in San Diego. And if people want to see this movie, how can they see the whole movie? Is there a way for people to download the movie?
Well, right now we're submitting it to festivals. So I kind of want to wait to release it until we get accepted into a couple festivals. So probably in a couple of months we'll make a post and release it somewhere.
Oh, cool. So there was, like you said, 72 different films at this festival. Now, did you guys win anything as far as the film goes, or is it just by actress and actor? How did they do that? Is there any other awards that were given out?
Yeah, there were a bunch of awards, and the way they do it is you spend 1 weekend filming, and then there's different screenings, and you see all the films, and then it gets narrowed down by judges, and then we have one more night that's called the Best Of. So there's like 13 different films. We were up for Best Use of GoPro, but we did not win that one. I was the only one that won an award, but it was still a great film.
Now, Rach, have you done any other films other than this one? I assume you have.
Yes, actually, we did a film the previous weekend at the practice, and we did that one in 48 hours. That one was called Grandpa's Fish. And I'm also working on finishing up a sci-fi film that we hope to finish this year.
Cool. Well, guys, I'm having a technical difficulty here, and I'm actually having some sound issues, but I appreciate you joining us today and talking about the festival. Lisa, congratulations on winning the award. Horatio, sorry I couldn't play more of your music, but if you get some more available, we can have you on later on and talk more about your guitar playing, and thank you guys for joining us this morning on the show.
Oh,
absolutely. Thanks
so much for having us. It was fun.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
My first time being someone's special guest.
aren't you lucky to be ours?
Yeah, right.
I know. I was very excited. You guys are my friends.
Aww.
thank you very much for joining us.
All right. Congratulations.
Guys. Check out their websites. I've got them listed here on the show. And by the way, if you have downloaded it and you can't see what I've got here, you can find HoratioJones.com, more about his guitar playing, and also his video company, which is called CinemaViva.com, and then also Lisa Winans, Lisa, WINANS.com. You can find out more. She sets her personal page about her acting career, and if you're looking for an actress for your film, the lady to call because she just won a big award. And there you go. All right, guys, we're going to take another break if this system will allow me. Brian, you still with me?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
It's been a disaster of a show. I'm over here like a crazy man. But
you wouldn't know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can tell it. Anyway, I'm gonna take a break. Our next guest is going to be calling in from Israel if the system will work. And this is really cool. We talked about them at the beginning of the show. The band is called Sawyer Band. And they're a country music band that's out of Israel, which that alone is just enough to have them on the show because I've never heard such a thing. And I've got to ask them some questions about that. But it'll be very interesting to find out how they got into the country music. And I'm trying to play one of their songs, Come On Baby Work. This song is called $20 Bill. We'll be right back if it works in just a couple minutes.
Got one shot, buddy, got one shot, buddy, it's what I got.
go. That saw here and their $20 bill.
Kick
and
up your heels.
Do what?
You kick up your heels with that one.
You kick up your heels. It's kind of, to me, like punk rock and country, like, jammed together. It's kind of an interesting sound, but they're from Israel, and I hope this thing is working, and we're having them on the show here, and I'm going to press this button, and I hope this is them. Good morning. Is this someone from Sawyer Band?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hello. Hey. Is this Kim?
What?
What is it? Is this Kim?
Yes, it is.
Hi, welcome
to
the show.
No, it's not Kim. It's
Paul. All right, tell me who we got here because I think we're having a delay on the feed from
the
here. Did you call?
Delay.
It is okay. Who's calling?
We're talking
in?
With Atalas. I'm the singer from Sawyer, and I'm sitting here with Kim and Shai.
Okay, so you guys are country music band from Israel. That alone is just to me cracks me up. And when I think of country music, I think of pickup trucks, hound dogs, drinking beer, and I guess my first thought is that Israel, I don't think of that. So how'd you guys end up getting in country music in Israel?
Well, we call ourselves the country rock and roll band. We're not definitely only country, but we have
okay.
a lot of influence. I actually grew up in the States, in Texas, in Oklahoma City. And Shai always loved the American influences. He's influenced by the music, and we love it. It's fun. You can tell a lot of stories. And so it's a lot of energy.
It's very interesting music. I was watching on YouTube. By the way, folks, if you want to see Sawyer on YouTube, you can punch in Sawyer and go to YouTube and see some of their concerts that are on YouTube. But you guys act like you have a lot of fun when you're playing your music.
Yeah, we do, and that's the point, actually. We want to have fun and have fun with other people. And make them dance,
How long have you guys been in the business?
In the business, like 12 years, I guess, each of us in his own way. And we've been together for 2 years, Sawyer.
2 years? Okay. Well, I'm going to play another one of your songs. I want people to hear this music because it's very interesting. And the next song I want to play is called Blind Man, and this has really got some interesting music to it. It's one of my favorites that you do. So we're going to play Blind Man, and we'll come back and chat. And when we come back, I want to find out what do you guys eat over in Israel? Because this is a food show. I want to find out what's your favorite food. Do you guys barbecue over there, that kind of thing? So I'm going to play your song Blind Man, and then we're going to come back and chat a little bit more with Sawyer. So everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
Okay, thanks.
Fade away. Now it's getting hard to find my way back home. That ship has sailed away, my friend. That ship has sailed away, my friend. You're twisted, my wind is old too.
That was Sawyer Band. The song's called Blind Man. We have Sawyer Band joining us from Israel this morning. Love the music. It's a very interesting country rock sound that's very different. So we were talking earlier before we went to the song about what you guys do over there. Do you guys barbecue at Israel?
Actually, there's a special holiday for barbecuing in Israel. It's the Independence Day. On Independence Day, everybody goes out and barbecues. And we don't call it barbecue, we call it mangal.
Oh, really? Now, what do you actually barbecue during that holiday? What's some of the specialties?
The specialties?
Yeah, like we do hamburgers and hot. We do hamburgers and hot dogs here. What do you do in Israel?
In Israel, it's more skewers of spring chicken and you know, kebabs with lamb meat and like this.
Cool.
And wings, yeah, wings. Mm-hmm. Chicken wings is a big thing. Just meat. Everybody goes out and they...
Now, do you have like buffalo wild wings over there in Israel?
I don't think so. No.
You don't think so.
I don't think so.
Hey, so what's my ask? Are you guys actually coming to the U.S. and are you playing any concerts or doing anything in the U.S.?
We sure hope so. We sure hope so. We got a couple of options. We'll see what turns out at the end. But right now we're actually recording our album and just working on that, also raising the money and also just recording and working together, putting everything together so we can plan a tour for the summer.
Cool. Now, if people want to find your music, where's the best place can they find your CD?
Actually, I have a really, really nice website. It's www.sawyerband.com, and you can find everything there. But also, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, everywhere. Bandcamp.
Okay. It's a very interesting sound, and if you guys have not seen them on YouTube and want to see how much fun they have on stage, they crank it up a few notches. If you haven't seen them, go check that out on YouTube. And we appreciate you guys calling in today and letting us play some of your music, and you're welcome to come on anytime. Let us know if you do go in concert and get anything lined up. Let us know, and keep us posted.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. And
right.
When you come to Israel, you can call too, and we'll go for a drink or something.
That looks like a great idea. All right, everybody, check it out. I'm going to play another one of their songs, and we take a break. The song is called Got a Feeling, and we'll be back to close out the show here in just a few minutes. Everyone, hang tight. This is Sawyer Band, Got a Feeling. And we're back. That was the Sawyer Band, Got a Feeling. We appreciate them calling in today from Israel. And I forgot to say shalom, Laurie.
You forgot to what? Oh, yes.
Hey, Brian.
I'm still listening. You just said it. They heard you.
Brian, you're still listening.
Yes, I'm here.
I've had to cut you off a couple of times because my system's not working. But since you are a Jewish man, I guess I almost slipped up and asked them if they cook pork chops and pork on the grill over there, but I guess they don't, huh?
Well, you know what was interesting is that I was doing a little digging while you guys were chatting, and I guess her name is Atara,
right?
And I was on her Facebook page, and she said, you know, formerly worked here, worked there, and I found a restaurant, and the restaurant's cover for their Facebook page has this beautiful dish of seafood, which would also not be necessarily kosher, but there aren't, you know, Israel is, kind of like a melting pot of religions. So, they don't necessarily have to be Jewish and kosher. So, but the thing is, though, that, you have a dominance of either Jewish or Muslim, and the Muslims don't eat pork either.
Right.
So I don't know if they would have pork.
I don't know. I should have asked that question, but I didn't know if I'd be offending it. I know I can ask stuff like that to you, that it doesn't offend you, but I was going to say, don't you guys cook some pork chops and have pork pork ribs?
Well, wait a second. Let me cut you off. You said you can ask me anything because it doesn't offend me.
No, it doesn't.
But you offend me.
Well,
so
that's true.
You can't ask me any questions anymore.
The nice thing about it is, though, I've got a button that says mute whenever I want to shut you up. So that's the cool thing about being the host of the show, right?
I can mute you, too.
And
cut myself off.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Very interesting sound of music, and I hope to come to the U.S. It's just a different kind of music to me, it's like punk rock and country kind of combined together.
Yeah, I agree with you. I almost don't think there are only a certain kind of inflections and gestures that make you feel like it's country, but it's got that kind of almost angry, dark feeling of punk rock.
Yes.
I'm with Brian on that one. I mean, I do pick up the country, which I like. The first song definitely wanted, it did sound like country music. But the other ones were a little dark
but Brian,
wild.
Yeah, but Brian's exactly right. It's like angry country. It's like I want to beat the crap out of you with my coon dog.
Yep.
Anyway,
you have to give it to them. They're unique.
Yes, they are unique. I gotta make a couple of announcements here because we got a new show starting tomorrow night at 9 p.m. East Coast time, 6 p.m. West Coast time. The one, the only, we mentioned this last week, the Untamed Chef, Albert Hernandez, will be starting his show Sunday night at 9 p.m. And it's going to be cool. He's actually going to, he talks about having his own TV show. He's actually having his own radio show on Great Ideas Radio, and that starts tomorrow night. So tune in. He's a great guy. Albert's a fantastic person, and he's going to be talking about cooking tips and also interviewing people on the West Coast, different chefs and people in the food business, and he'll be talking more about his TV show, which is coming up called The Untamed Chef. I'm sorry. Yeah, Untamed Chef is the name of the TV show also. So check that out. Also, don't forget, on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we have our good buddy John Dilley. And John has his DEF Conversations, and it's about the hot sauce world, and he talks to people who make hot sauces. And I think this week he's got a barbecue sauce guy who's going to be joining him. But great show. John is doing fantastic on his show, and he's got a lot of followers in the sauce world. But if you're not even in the sauce world, check it out. You'll learn a lot. And then on Wednesday mornings, we've got our good buddy Christo, Chef Christo, and the Chef Christo Show. And Christo is going to be talking about food tips, and he does catering and gives you pointers on different things and different recipes, and he's got a great following of people that follow his show. And then Brian, I'm going to make an announcement you don't even know about. Brian and I are going to be talking, and I'm going to give him a shot if he wants it, that he's going to possibly doing a wine show in the future on the Great Ideas Radio Network.
Wow!
Yeah, we've talked about it.
You guys are keeping me in the dark on this.
Yeah,
you know,
we just have to
figure out where we can meet at 2 o'clock in the morning to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we gotta do it when everybody's asleep because you know, everybody knows Brian, so
I hope Lori's going to be okay with us hanging out at 2 o'clock in the morning, but you know, we'll figure it out.
I didn't break the news to her till just now. So is that okay, Lori?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? When do I ever say no? Do I ever say no to you?
She never says no.
Hey, Lori. Lori, yes. In all honesty, it's the first time you broke the news to me, too. So there.
I told you. There you go. Hey, Brian. What do I always say about the radio? I got to fill
dead air.
So I got to give you a show to just have some air filled. So that's why I'm giving you a show and giving you a chance. So.
Yeah, and you know what? As the promo that comes on before we start the show every Saturday says, happening in 2014, we ain't got much left of 2014.
No.
So we got to get moving here.
Yeah,
true.
We're moving. And I got some other news that hopefully next week I'll be able to tell you about some big news that I told Laurie about that happened this week that's going to be
very
good for Brilliant
exciting.
Ideas Radio if it goes through. And I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with television, and that's all I can say right now. But that's a possibility in the works. So stay tuned. Thank you for everybody for your support on everything you do. We were actually in the top five again last week. And by adding these more people to the roster, I'm sure it's going to move us right up to number one. So thank you for everyone listening and putting up with us each and every week for the last almost 3 years. And we appreciate your support. And we will do this 24/7 thing as soon as I get it all put together. We're getting close. So we've actually got, 8 or 9 minutes. Either one of you have a story you want to tell?
Hey, actually, I want to give a couple of things. First of all, here's a news item, but, you know, you probably already know, is did you know that the chicken fries are back at Burger King?
No, I did not know that.
I never heard of it.
Well, you guys don't watch television.
No,
that's true.
We don't.
But I figured, you know, you had to have been in a Burger King at some point in the last couple of weeks to see that they were there.
No, is it strips of chicken that are shaped like fries?
Well, obviously that's what they are, but when I'm thinking of chicken fries, I'm thinking of chicken fried steak and chicken fried this and chicken fried that. I'm like, what did they do, bread the french fries and refry them? You know, but obviously they're like little strips of chicken.
They sound good.
That look
oh
like
my
french
gosh.
Fries.
We have to go there and try it.
Speaking of that, I've got a little story to tell here. If I can find it on my computer, it's talking about fried chicken. Give me a second here. I got it. Somebody sent me a little story, and Laurie, I think that it's appropriate time to do this, right?
Yes.
Oh, let me find it. Okay, here you go. If I can get it to open.
I laughed. The good thing is you asked, and I laughed. So.
Well, when you say it's cute, I guess it's okay to read. So anyway, the story is about the story is called Honesty. And it's about a little boy in school. And it's about my favorite animal. He says, our teacher asked what my favorite animal was. I said, fried chicken. She said, I wasn't funny. But she couldn't have been right because everyone else laughed. My parents told me to always tell the truth. I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened. And he said, my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said, they love animals very much. I do, too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he laughed, too. Then he told me, don't do it again. The next day in class, my teacher asked me, what's my favorite live animal? I told her it was chicken. She asked me why, so I told her it was because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed and told me, don't do it again. I understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked me to tell her what famous person I admired most. I, of course, told her Colonel Sanders. And guess where I'm sitting now? There you go. I thought it was a cute little story. Anyway, it was appropriate
for
fried
story.
Chicken. It was
hey,
a perfect
I got
story.
A,
all
I,
right.
I,
yeah.
I got a shout. I want to give a shout out to our chef Christo also. Last night, I posted some figs from my tree. You know, just said I'm having a snack. I think I even tagged you guys on it, and I tagged Christo, and Christo immediately came back with a great tip.
Yeah.
For figs. So
okay,
I gotta give him a shout out. He suggested that if the tree were mine, if I actually had a tree, and I'm like, of course, I wouldn't pick someone else's figs. That you wrap them, you know, you put the fig inside a fig leaf, and you put goat cheese in there, and then you wrap it up, and then you throw it on the grill, and it just sounds so good. I have to try it.
Wow!
I like.
So,
that does sound
really good.
That was a tip from our very own Chef Christo.
Do you guys remember when Fig Newtons were like the big thing where people were on that low-carb diet and everybody was eating Fig Newtons?
Yeah.
I was never a Fig Newton type of girl.
I like Fig. Then they came out with Strawberry Newtons and Blueberry Newtons.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
fruit
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we wasted enough time. Yeah, we got enough. We can pretty much close out the show now. Everyone, thank you for joining us. Brian, the wine czar, thank you again for being on. We'll talk about that wine show later. And Laurie, thank you for that riveting food news that you give us each and every week. And I guess I'm going to close out the show with Sister Monica. She was one of my original guests, one of her singers, and I love her, and I got to have her back on. I want to find out more what's going on with Sister Monica, but this song's called Worn Out Your Welcome, and we pretty much have worn out our welcome this morning. So everyone, enjoy your weekend. Come see us next weekend on next Saturday. Don't forget our other shows. Don't forget tomorrow, the Untamed Chef. Don't forget about Tuesday with the Chef Conversations and the Christo Show on Wednesday. Everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you next Saturday.
Cheers, guys.
just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.